This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. As always, none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Earl. How are you doing? I was just in Detroit for 4 days. Saw the Lions, Bills game.
Oh, man. What a great game.
One of the highest scoring games in NFL history. It made the list of top 10.
You know, Robert, I'm a Lions fan, but there, you know, when you're starting almost your entire starting defensive team and half of the backups are out, and then you lose one of your top two running backs, It's a horrible time, but they're going to go down fighting.
Points weren't the problem. The Bills could run too well, and as a result, Josh Allen was uncontainable, their quarterback. But he's an amazing quarterback. But you better be stomping their run in order to have a chance.
Dr. Craig, so much to talk about. It really is. We've been talking about the election of Donald Trump. He hasn't even gotten, you know, in office yet, but so much going on. House Republicans call for Liz Cheney to be investigated over January 6th committee role. So just to even try to envision and take a bite out of what this means, Dr. Craig, for the future, it's kind of unbelievable that we're even talking about this, that somebody who still a very well-respected former congressperson who's doing her job could somehow now be threatened, you know, by an incoming, you know, president's group of goons to somehow put her in a situation where she's has to financially push back against these kinds of things. What are your thoughts, Dr. Craig, on the impact of just this?
Well, I would connect it with the lawsuits against major media and regional media like the Des Moines Register. So that they're using the law to coerce people into compliance, right? And also to have a war on truth. So they want to make it so media, ABC, NBC, or any newspaper, any other media source feels like even if they get a frivolous lawsuit, and who knows what happens when it goes to Trump's Supreme Court, but that they're gonna think twice about any negative coverage. And that is very similar to, Liz Cheney was a very successful, very conservative politician who was high up in the leadership of the House and on a trajectory. You could see her becoming a Republican speaker in the House in the future. What was her motive other than patriotism for deciding to vote to impeach Donald Trump after the attempted insurrection and then join a committee that's goal was to find out what happened? And does anyone want to call in and tell me that nothing happened on January 6th that was worthy of investigation? And we'll hear these talking points about how it was a corrupt, investigation. That is just not factually the case. It was actually a model investigation from the standpoint of how Congress ought to do its job.
Bipartisan.
It was bipartisan because you had two Republicans willing to do it. That's the only reason most wouldn't. But then all of the evidence came from former Trump folks, right-wing conservative people who had the guts to stand up for the country, and they testified in public. It's all there in the light of day. And it's amazing what people can be made to believe. The people apparently can be made to believe everything if their group is saying that this is the factual thing and gives them a fake cause and effect to replace the real cause and effect.
Dr. Craig, it's House Republicans who are bringing this pressure on another fellow Republican. Imagine what they're going to do to the other side. I mean, this wasn't something that is brought up by Democrats. This is House Republicans who are demanding this.
Well, they hate Liz Cheney because, to use a religious metaphor, she's a heretic, right? She turned on them. She put her country over her party, and this cannot be accepted, and it will not be accepted by Donald Trump. So this is just playing to the new wannabe dictator, right? But ultimately, this is to make sure that there is no further investigation ever of Donald Trump and his team. And this is on the same day that I just saw in the New York Times. I had not turned on the cable news this morning or anything, that Herschel Walker will be the ambassador to the Obamas, the Bahamas, which is, good luck to the Bahamas. I don't know what Herschel Walker is going to end up doing there, but it's like, can you find less qualified, less stable, more incompetent people to fill out this administration?
Now, Dr. Craig, you're talking about the New York Times. I was reading this article this morning by Michelle Goldberg, and it's called The Great Capitulation. And she said, at a press conference at Mar-a-Lago on Monday, Donald Trump described recent visits from Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, Sergey Brin, a co-founder of Google, and other tech barons. And Trump said, in the first term, everyone was fighting me, he said. In this term, everyone wants to be my friend. For once, he wasn't exaggerating. Dr. Craig, why are people capitulating? Why? I mean, I know they're afraid, but somebody has to be willing to stand up, don't they?
Well, it shows the character of a lot of our top CEOs. Jeff Bezos, the powerful billionaire owner of Amazon, founder of Amazon, pre-capitulated by pulling the Washington Post. He owns the Washington Post endorsement of Kamala Harris shortly before the election. And he has also gone to make peace. Other CEOs, like the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, all it tells you about the character of these business leaders. And it's another reason we cannot hand the economy over totally to them. That is why we've had skyrocketing inequality, why the only thing that the first Trump administration actually achieved was massive multi-billion-dollar tax cuts for large corporations and the wealthy, and they want to double down and do more of that. So they're all playing ball, but it tells you that the future of democracy in the hands of average people coming together, not in the hands of these elites. They cannot be trusted to do anything other than to seek their own interest. And this is, as experts have told us over and over again, this is the story of authoritarianism. The major institutions, the major corporations, they capitulate. They try to save themselves. It is average people who need to be the heroes, and some leaders, like Liz Cheney being one of them, and Adam Schiff, who they want to throw in jail, and people who's a Democrat, and people like that, but they're few and far between, and it's certainly not, there's not a lot of courage coming from the people who have benefited most from economic growth the last 50 years, the corporate elite here at all, quite the contrary.
You know, Dr. Craig, even elected officials are all bowing. And so it doesn't, to me, if Donald Trump wants to be the king, okay. That should be something he's wanting. That shouldn't be something that we all help him become.
This is all like loyalists to King George, right? This is this bowing and scraping is a threat to freedom, a threat to democracy. Yes. And we need to start to establish that norm, quite frankly. And it's going to be amazing if Trump goes down in flames and is a hated figure based on who gets to write future history. How many of these people will reverse and say, I was against it all the time and I was on the inside and talking so I could make sure I could prevent damage, et cetera, et cetera. I was with you all the way.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm laughing, but this is no laughing matter. What this man in Project 2025, as it's being implemented as we speak, if we don't have people on the other side, Dr. Craig, who are willing to push back and fight this tooth and nail, it becomes a reality.
Yeah, you had the FBI, head of the FBI, who has 3 years left on his term, Christopher Wray, pre-resign, to make it easier for a really malevolent figure, Kash Patel.
Yeah, lunatic.
Director, and Lord knows what he's going to do with the FBI. And we're not even talking about death squads here. You can show how few profiles in courage, I use the title of John F. Kennedy's book, there are out there, particularly as you go up in power, right? Because if you're someone who has a lot, you have a lot to lose. They don't want to lose any yachts, apparently, and they don't want to be isolated from power and further wealth, though, quite frankly, their intergenerational wealth is going to be worthless to their heirs if we don't address the climate crisis. And of course, we're now going to take a step back on that too.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, when we're talking about even U.S. senators who Republicans who are saying, well, he's threatening to primary me. You're a United States senator, for heaven's sakes. You know, our concern shouldn't be about whether or not you get primary. Their concern should be about what's in the best interest of the American people. But for heaven's sakes, that's not what their concern is. 855-752-4842. You guys on the phone line, hang on. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, the great capitulation on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is in the chair. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. with Patel in charge of the FBI, this craziness is only going to get worse. As far as I can tell, just in the last couple of weeks, Trump has initiated two slap suits. You know what those are. They're designed to discourage free speech. One against ABC, and ABC didn't even really fight it.
Right.
They paid out. They said they were going to pay out $15 million into the Trump library. Boy, that's a library that I wouldn't visit. And now he's suing a major Iowa newspaper, I believe, the Des Moines Register. And, you know, both of those suits are designed to discourage free speech. And I'm sure that if there was enough financial backing, both of those organizations could take him to court and could win on at least a free speech, if not an accurate statement, and that would throw out his lawsuit. The ABC thing, where one of their personalities called him a rapist, that's backed up by the New York State judge, who basically said what he did, according to New York law, is sexual assault, but it is really what any ordinary person would understand as rape. And, you know, you could certainly defend it on that basis, I would think, if not, you know, free speech against someone who is clearly and has admittedly engaged in sexual assault, not to mention the judgments. This is really going to be, unless some of the Republicans wake up and they start to get some political courage, I guess I'd call it, this is going to be a dictatorship if this continues.
Hey, Jack, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Caller is on point on all of that, including the narrative about ABC. And yeah, I'm wondering what books you have in the Trump library.
The Bible for sure.
But yeah, only one of the Bible. Wow. It's like Oklahoma school.
Yeah.
And so I do think we need to bear in mind that this country is harder to take over and create a dictatorship than other countries. There's the biggest risk we've had of authoritarianism in our history, which is saying something. But you know, you have all of the authority within each state. It's a federated government. You have the fact that the House has the purse strings and has a one vote functional majority right now. We'll see. I don't hold up the filibuster as one of the bulwarks of democracy, but it will be harder to pass things until they change it. And then there's just the matter of all these Republican congressmen and senators, and congresswomen are going to have dueling interests here. They're going to try to show fealty to the king while also buttering the bread of their own constituencies, right? And so they're going to try to play it both ways. Like, they are against the Affordable Care Act and against Medicaid, but they actually don't want it cut off because it's politically dangerous from their own constituents. The same with all of the money for climate change and the Inflation Reduction Act. That's benefited red states even more than blue states. And so let's see. It might well be that this is a lot more sound and fury than anything else. I think the caller's right, though. The shredding of civil liberties, both by what kind of investigations they will unleash and the great capitulation, as we're calling it here, following a columnist from the New York Times, Michelle Goldberg, who wrote the article. That's most of the way through that column during the break, Earl. So you won't have the media being the watchdog it needs to be. You'll have a lot of average people who will just be sacrificed to these lawsuits. And Trump was effective using the law against people when the law was not on his side. Just as a rich guy, he was able to stand down the whole federal government because of his fundraising capacity. Now that he's a hero of half the country, imagine what he's going to do with the Justice Department. Pam Bondi, who probably will do more damage than Gates because she's probably more effective. She's crazy, but not as crazy.
You know, 855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Hang on the phone lines. Dr. Craig, we're going to talk about, you know, U.S. labor adopts an anti-labor policy against remote work. Amongst other things, we're going to certainly talk about the politrickster of the day towards the end of the next segment. And we're also going to talk about, you know, GOP leans into a homogeneously inequity and inclusion with all white male House leaders. So Donald Trump has been opposed to equity and inclusion, but everybody in this cabinet, for the most part, is white, going to be white males. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, I have a question for you. The people must think that the emperor still has clothes on, huh? But my question to you is, I want to know what happened before FDR leading up to the New Deal. What were the tax rates? And was there the money in politics? And how did we get out of it? I really want to know, like, what was the solution of how we got out of it? Was it just FDR saying, I'm, you know, going to war with these economic royalists? Or what was it that happened? Because honestly, we're just kind of like living the 20s again in the same experiment that we had done before. So can you answer that for me, what the tax rates were before FDR, and also if there was this much money in politics?
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig.
Well, the modern government was in its infancy. In other words, we didn't really start to build a modern federal government until the Wilson administration in the Progressive Era from 1912 to 1920. And it was pulled back on by the three Republican presidents. So the tax rates would have been much lower, but there would have been far less of a federal government to fund. And there was no giant standing army. We were not a military power. As we became after during World War II and then after World War II. And in fact, FDR made mistakes. He he campaigned on fiscal austerity, and he actually did some things to make the Depression worse initially before reversing course on that. But who had Herbert Hoover been so ineffective in the face of the Great Depression, refusing to use the government to intervene because he had very conservative market kind of principles in the 19th century, people were so desperate and Congress was so fractious, and we all know how that is, that there was a strong opinion by leading elites, Walter Lippmann, who was a pundit more influential than any pundit you could imagine now as far as his influence. William Randolph Hearst had a movie made promoting this, promoting the president becoming an authoritarian figure and basically closing Congress, called Gabriel Over the White House. If you all look it up, it was a major motion picture release. FDR decided not to do that, even though he had a lot of backing for it, to move towards dictatorial control, and effectively got major reforms through Congress that stimulated the economy. And there were a lot of hits and misses in that, and trial and error, but he basically decided to try to make democracy work and then succeeded in doing so. And of course, that created a renaissance with some fits and starts in America, building our current, Social Security, everything that we take for granted in our society that the government is supposed to do to create a safety net, that was made possible because FDR made that choice. So very different than now, where you have a public perception that President Biden has failed, which is, misunderstands the role of COVID, right, and misunderstands his huge economic gains, and then completely misunderstands how incompetent Trump is. We now have a situation where authoritarianism, the basis for authoritarianism is very different. It is in order to make government work in a constructive way to solve this huge national crisis, the Great Depression. We had 30% unemployment. People couldn't feed themselves and were losing their houses, and there was mass migration. Now we have a would-be dictator who may cause that level of crisis. So it's great you brought it up, Tom, but very different situation. But again, we have to figure out how to make democracy work and prove it can work from the outside power.
So, Dr. Craig, if there's one thing Republicans hate, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, which they see as demonic spawn of wokeness and a word they've never been inclined to define. To provide just how unnecessary DEI is in America, the GOP leaders in the U.S. House of Representatives have chosen men to head up all the House committees, all but one of the men is white. Now, let me ask you, Dr. Craig. They vilified diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they got the average American to go along with that, because they felt as if this was an attack on white males and that the society had forced the white male into some subservient positions in this nation. And yet, in the face of that tremendous lie and many average citizens who denounce diversity, equity, and inclusion, what does Donald Trump do? What do the Republicans do? Put all white men in charge of what's happening in this society. How is that a good thing, Dr. Craig? In 2025.
Yeah, and diversity, equity, inclusion, they like to create boogeymen. So they create this thing that doesn't really exist, but it becomes a wedge against trying to make sure that the leadership of this country, the advantages people get, like going to college, right, and being able to stay in college, are equally distributed to everyone, that isn't just segregated among certain groups of people. But their action proves the need for intervention.
Yes.
Because it's left to their own devices. Unless you believe, and I just ask, we can ask conservative callers, that this is just a result of meritocracy. And if you believe that, then you have to believe there is something superior about heterosexual white males, right? Of a conservative leaning. This is all very hard to imagine. Now, part of their problem, Earl, is that they are far less diverse in terms of their leadership than the Democrats. It would be pretty hard to find enough white men, you know, in order to be the leader of every darn committee. If you looked at the House congressional delegation for Democrats, is quite diverse, right?
Right.
The Republican is not. But nonetheless, and, you know, I guess Lynn Cheney gave them a splash of gender diversity, but, you know, she's a heretic now, and they need to, apparently she needs, at least Trump needs to have a reality, you know, demand her punishment. We'll see if they actually try to go through with it.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is, as a black person in this nation, it is, when you see this, and you know the history, and the fact that they've been able to want to do away with history, and then you see they move right back to where they were before there was anything that addressed. We were living in a society at a time, Dr. Craig, that was not fair and equitable and just, and then we had a government that looked at that and said, yes, it's not fair and equitable and just, and so we're going to put provisions in place to address what has not been fair and equitable and just to other American citizens. But it's one of those other American citizens, Dr. Craig, who sees this, and you just have to say, Dr. Craig, we know that, thank God, that the majority of the American people don't agree with this foolishness because they didn't vote for Donald Trump. And women who also voted for Donald Trump should understand that he doesn't have many women in positions of leadership as well. It's more than frustrating, to say the least, Dr. Craig. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
I'd like to say that, you know, I think the idea of the all-white male cabinet and positions around them is so that they never have to be in a room, and before they start talking about things, look around and say, hey, are we alone here? And then secondly, I'd like to make a serious point in that, you know, you kind of just said it, Earl, but also Dr. Craig was speaking earlier, and not that it's misspoken, but we always talk about like half the country, more than half the country, the majority of the country. I wish we would be a little more accurate about it and say the majority of the electorate, because there's still 70-something million people that just don't vote. And so it's not half the country. Every time we say that, we're normalizing the idea that half of the country or more than the half of the country, and that's absolutely not true. It's more than half of the electorate, and honestly, it was 49.9% of that, I believe.
Eric,
so that's about it.
Eric, well, that's some good stuff, Eric. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Eric? He's 100% accurate.
Well, it kind of calls into question the legitimacy of our democracy when so many people don't participate at all. And maybe the electorate, in some ways, that the nation is the electorate, right?
Right.
People care enough to actually do the most minimum thing you can do to be a member of this society, and that is vote. But I take the point. It just, they're off to the side, and it's hard to know how to interpret their votes. Their votes can be votes in favor of or against everything, right? I mean, and it is an example of the number of people who are on the outside and demoralized, and that is a problem for democracy as well. And so caller makes a good point.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
Thanks, Earl and Dr. Craig. Let's see. Let's do this one. One day, live in a nation where there will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And we are living that.
No, Dr. King challenged that, CJ, and he challenged it because there was no diversity, equity, and inclusion. How about thinking about that?
thank God they're going to end DEI in our military.
So, Dr. Craig, you...
It's been an amazing bait and switch that the aspiration that we have a society where your gender, your race, your ethnicity, your sexual orientation have nothing to do with your success, right? That is somehow means we've achieved it, is an amazing proposition, and completely goes against, is a complete distortion, rewriting of history as to what Martin Luther King Jr. said and stood for. And this is why they need to erase history. And you can see erasing Dr. Martin Luther King and making him into Lord knows what he is, if the way they apply him, is an example of rewriting and erasing history for a partisan ideological purpose.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, I'm just thankful that I live during that period of time and witnessed him for myself and was old enough to comprehend what the fight was about. Otherwise, I would have been able to fall for what CJ just spouted, as if, you know, there was some truth in that. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're going to talk about the politrickster of the day, amongst other things, with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, on The Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you. Let's go to the phone lines at Karina. Hey, Karina, how you doing?
Good morning. Well, I have two things to say. Honestly, well, because I'm a woman and I'm white and I'm an immigrant, it does feel very often that the people doesn't take me the way they would took somebody who was born in this country and don't have an accent. But at the same time, I don't know how other people feel. And I don't know how other nations feel. So that's very difficult to understand. But at the same time, do we really need to have something to tell us to treat everybody equal? One thing. And another thing, I would like to see that gentleman who came in on the radio about the black man for Trump. I want to see his opinion, if we can possibly contact him and bring him back, maybe, because how they feel about it. I mean, we feel about it because they're taking something away from us. they feel about it, that they're removing the obstacle, okay? So I'm confused at this point. Is it an obstacle or it's something what helps our society to be kind to each other, which shouldn't be there in the begin with?
Karina, thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, it would certainly been a lot easier if there wasn't such a thing as racism and discrimination. But human beings, you know, that's who we are, right? And so we have those proclivities, some of us, and you know, and that's the way things are. And so, you know, you can't change. What did Dr. King say, Dr. Craig? You can't legislate morality. You clearly can't legislate morality, but Dr. King said we can stop you from lynching us. So you can change laws, but you can't legislate morality. Part of this is morality. And so, you know, that's where people are. And but you don't solve it by erasing it, Dr. Craig, and saying we're going to go back to square one, where white men control it all, and this is our world. Especially since they only make up 10% of the global population.
And I understand a lot of working class white men who are not enjoying that many privileges in our society may resent this is somewhat where we need to think about how we talk about this, us clumping them in with, you know, the people who run the country, right? Because they don't, they're not running the country either. Of course, the problem is they're tending disproportionately to side with those people when they're voting for conservative Republicans. But you're quite right about racism and every other ism, because humans easily, the way we evolve and the way our mental frameworks work, we define ourselves and our groups, the in-group, against some out-group, against another, right? And we're socialized into what those are. And that changes, that doesn't change that rapidly. In fact, there's a lot of research that indicates that racism improved in this country in the 20th century, not so much because hearts and minds were changed, but because people who were socialized in a very racist way passed from the scene. There was generational transition. What I'm a little bit concerned about is it looked like there was going to be perpetual progress where each generation is more inclusive and less racist, sexist, homophobic, right? That's not clear anymore. And in fact, there was a big move of young males towards Trumpism in this election because it's been this social media drumbeat has been successful in all these YouTube personalities and the type in claiming that somehow men are now the victimized group, right? Even middle-class, upper middle-class white men, and that they're having things taken away, and that's what Democrats are doing. We need to be very clear that inclusion means everyone, and it means a true meritocracy, because right now there is not a true meritocracy. When you do a test, whenever they do tests on like the same, some black folks and white folks apply for jobs, when the black folks are more qualified, the white folks will get more of the jobs. Same with real estate and buying houses, right? All of that. Every test you do that's objective shows that racism and sexism and classism and homophobia are alive and real, and we need to use the law to call it market.
All right, Dr. Robert Craig, thank you, and we'll see you in a week. I just want to say the politrickster of the year is Marjorie Taylor Greene, as the Social Security Department is on Capitol Hill fighting and making it clear that they don't want to see cuts to Social Security. She's made personal attacks against those folk who are there to represent us. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Craig. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, Madner on Air. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.